Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, whether you're listening in through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. This afternoon, we're going to be speaking with a special guest. We have author Amy Beth Arkowee is joining us live to talk to us about her literary journey and her new book, Killing Time. Amy, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hey, Cyrus. Happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks a lot for being on with us, and congratulations to you on all of your achievements that you've been able to do. You not only have been writing and having that work to be able to share, you also are a radio show host yourself and have been able to share with listeners that way as well. I want to, before we get into Killing Time, Amy, I want to talk about what this experience has been like for you. I asked you before we went on here about the literary journey. What has it been like for you to be able to create something and then to see people appreciate it the way that they are?
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing, and it's kind of phenomenal over the years. The journey has been bumpy, but it's been exciting and intriguing all at the same time.
Right.
I think I've been writing since I was a little kid. In fact, a lot of people think this is my first book, but I actually have written two other books that have been published. I rediscovered them when I was about 7 or 8 years old. My mom got me this little kit to write books, and the first book was called The Four Puppeteers. And they give you pictures and you make up a story. And it was very funny. In fact, my handwriting, I think, has gotten worse, if that's possible. But my mom, the first book was dedicated to my mom, who got me this kit.
Yeah. And so now that you have progressed past the kit, Amy, and now that you have books available now for the world to be able to enjoy through In-House Press, do you see that as almost like a full circle experience for you?
Well, you know, I'm not done yet, as they say, but I do think, yeah, it's kind of interesting and circuitous as it has been to start as a kid telling stories. And then I told stories on the radio, as you mentioned. I also have a degree in counseling, so I listen to other people's stories. And it is interesting. It has been a very interesting journey.
Okay. So take us to what inspires you, because when I was reading Killing Time, one thing that I noticed is, of course, it is a mystery, and we'll get into that in a moment, but
sure.
You also, it's very obvious that you are aware of what's going on socially, politically. Those things that seem to have an impact. I've had the privilege of visiting one of your blogs where you also kind of use music
mm-hmm.
to be able to kind of go along with the soundtrack of the world that we're experiencing. How important is what's happening in modern day for you in the real world? How much does that contribute to what you do creatively?
That's such a great question, Cyrus. You know, it just sort of bleeds into it. It's all part of it, I suppose. And as you mentioned, I do, I am the arts and entertainment editor at News Junkie Post, which is a popular website, and I write about music and movies and politics and all kinds of things there. It just sort of does influence everything I do, I guess. It just happens because the world is happening around us, and I guess the writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, does reflect that to some extent.
Yeah. Do you feel as though at this point, Amy, because you're not quote-unquote new to this and that you've been doing it for so long, do you feel less of the fear or more of the fear as more and more people are learning about you?
Mm. Well, you have some good questions, I'll tell you. you know, both. I mean, I think you have some confidence as you go and grow that you gain, but there is some pressure, obviously, to perform as you get better and better known.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of both. You try not to think about it too much. You know, I work with artists and writers as a creativity coach and counselor and teacher, and I think the key is to just do it. And one of the things I learned when I was in college, I have to give a lot of credit to Alan Gerganis, who was my first fiction teacher at Sarah Lawrence. He made us write a story a week. Can you imagine doing that? and that was just, it was tough, but it gave us a great deal of discipline, and it also took away the fear because it can't be perfect if you have to pump out a story a week. And then,
right.
Of course, as you perfect your craft, you have to work on revision because writing is rewriting, as you know. But the first hurdle for writers is to really break down the obstacles and to just plunge in and do it. So
yeah.
I try not to think about it, at least at the beginning.
Yeah, it makes it a whole lot easier, when you try not to. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or online through blogtalkradio.com, you're listening to Conversations Live. I have the privilege of speaking with author Amy Beth Arkowee. She's talking with us about her literary journey with the experience, and this is not her first book. She corrected me on this. It's not her first book. She's written two other ones. You just may not have read them, but they're out there.
They're out there. Collector's items. We might be, available on eBay any day now.
Hey, you never know these days. You know, speaking of, and you said something that is interesting that ties into Killing Time that I had not thought about until you said it, Amy, and that is, of course, you were talking about writing a story a week and how, how it can't be perfect. I think one thing that's so great about Killing Time that makes the characters so easy to relate to is that none of them are perfect. They all have their flaws.
That's true.
The ones that are seen as the quote-unquote main characters, maybe even the heroes of the story, they're flawed. Do you find that adding those flaws is what makes them realistic to the reader?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need to have – I think they're realistic and hopefully relatable if they feel real and they have idiosyncrasies and, as you said, flaws, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for you, they always say that authors find a way of writing themselves in. Radio is another part. Commentary is another part of this story. How much of the characters do you feel as though you kind of picked parts of yourself out of for them?
Well, I don't think I really pick parts of myself ever. I think it just comes through.
Okay.
It's not autobiographical. It is a cozy mystery, so it's not really an autobiography by any means. But, things do slip in from your life that you just subconsciously do it, I think. And that's kind of my process. The characters just sort of come organically. And the story, to some extent also, I will say with a mystery, and this is the first mystery I've done, at least a novel. I've done a couple of stories, but you really do have to craft it because the plot is very important in a mystery. So you have to plant the clues and plot it out, which is a little different than some other types of writing.
You are, I mentioned at the outset of this conversation, Amy, you are not new to the creative process, even though this may be your first novel that we have read. You're not new to the creative process because, of course, you've done other things. Considering that everyone today, especially thanks and sometimes no thanks to the Internet, everyone is a critic, do you find yourself curious as to what other people are saying about you? And how much does what, I guess, people say about your work, positively or negatively, how much does that affect you as a creative person?
Good question. I'm curious, of course, and I'm new enough at it to want to look and see what they have to say. I also hope... One of the gigs I had over the years was as a theater and TV critic, and I still do some film reviews and so forth. So I'm hoping I built up some good critical karma. I was always a pretty generous critic, honest, but tried to find good things in everything I've seen. So I'm curious, and so far I've only had a few reviews, and they've all been good, so I'm very happy and pleased with that. But, bad stuff comes along, too, and you try to take it, constructively and learn from it.
Yeah, we're going to revisit that, Amy, when we end this segment, because I'm curious as to what advice you would have for others that are coming up after you that are looking to be published. We're going to ask you about that question and your advice for them in a moment. So let's talk about Killing Time and how it came about. How did the story develop for you?
Well, I was always a fan of mysteries over the years. I read Agatha Christie's as a kid, T.D. James, Dorothy Sayers. I got involved in the Leslie Meyer, Lucy Stone mysteries, Mary Higgins Clark, certainly, and I just, for some reason, decided I wanted to do it and try it, and I was just kicking around. The idea of the story was kicking around, and I guess the characters, as I said, kind of emerged on their own, and it just sort of fell together, and then I had to work it a little bit, nudge it along, craft it. So it's really hard to say exactly where it came from. I think just the idea of reading a lot of mysteries over the years and then just saying, hey, this would be a fun genre to try.
Do you find, because one thing that I thought, and I think others have agreed with me on this, is that everyone has an opinion. Everyone in someone's mind becomes a suspect. We are notorious as imperfect individuals for, making people guilty before they've been proven to be guilty and saying, well, I know this has to be true. It has to be this person because or the way they look, or the way they sound, or the way they act. Do you think that adds to the element of the characters being realistic, not knowing exactly who they can trust and who might be the culprit?
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly want to have enough suspects so that it keeps your interest. I also hope it's plausible and that when you get to the end that you don't think it came out of thin air. I believe I manage that. I always feel gypped as a reader if I think they just plucked it out of thin air and it's somebody you never thought of because it really wasn't anybody who was in the mix. But, yeah, you want to have enough things going on so that people are always looking over their shoulder. And the reader, I guess the fun part of this, I hope, that I've achieved it to at least some degree, the reader gets to solve the crime along with Eliza and Mitch, who are the main characters who ultimately solve the crime. But, you know, and sometimes they're a step ahead, too. The reader gets to be a little step ahead of Eliza.
So let's talk about Eliza. It's obvious, because her name made the cover, that we're going to hear more from her along the way.
We sure are.
And we'll talk, but... And I asked this question earlier, and I'll be a little bit more direct this time, when I mentioned about parts of yourself finding themselves in. Eliza is an individual that has very strong opinions. We find her being someone who loves some of the same things that that Amy loves. She loves politics. She watches television. She loves Joe Scarborough. You can't go wrong with Joe Scarborough, I don't think.
Well, you really did read it carefully. I'm
yeah,
happy.
So you have that element where she's involved in politics. Of course, she loves interaction, acting with individuals because she's in that platform like Amy. When you kind of see how her story is developing, what has surprised you the most about Eliza that maybe you weren't expecting when you began to develop her?
Wow. Well, you do have some good questions, Sarah, so I got to tell you. I don't know. I think maybe that she's a lot stronger than maybe I thought she'd be as a person. She obviously has gone through a lot. I don't know how much we want to give away, but it's pretty obvious at the beginning that she's fairly recently widowed, mm-hmm. pretty young widow. Her husband died suddenly, and she moved to this small town and started this business. She was a child TV star and then became a soap actress, kind of a minor actress, and then sort of gave it up to get married and moved to this small town where she's been embraced by the townspeople. And that becomes part of her conflict because they're all suspects and she loves them all. So she's like thinking, well, you know, doesn't want them to be guilty. She's kind of a formidable character, I think. She'll become more formidable as the series continues.
Okay. They're telling me we need to take a break here, but I want to throw this out there because there is another character that appears throughout the story that is not a person, and that is, to me, the power of books. One thing that strikes me as I remember, I made a note of it even, that people, they're proud of the fact that they read. The library itself is a star in a sense because people do rely on information. Is there a message there for us about the power of words, Amy, and how it's something that is not really going away in whatever form it might take?
I hope so, Cyrus. I hope people want to read, and it seems like a lot of people want to write, certainly, in this new digital age. Everybody wants to write and put out their books. And hopefully we also have a lot of readers.
Right.
That's important. And to stay in touch. I think you're right. The town, or I think part of it says the library is not as populated because they also have bookstores and people want to buy books and share books. And I think it is an important thing. So, that's sort of an underlying, not really a theme, but sure. It's a good message that I think all writers want to promote.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to know that people like books so that they are able to get books.
Keep reading. We'll keep writing them.
Exactly. Hey, I think that's a great trade-off there. For those that are just tuning in, I'm speaking to Amy Beth Arkowee. She's talking with us about her literary journey, her new book, Killing Time, an Eliza Gordon mystery is what we've been discussing. A great book. Amy, stay with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to let our listeners know not only how they can get their own copy of the book, we're going to talk about what you have coming up next. And I had asked you earlier about fear and moving forward, and I'm going to ask you what your advice would be for aspiring writers out there as they try to embark on their own journey, okay?
Terrific.
We'll be right back here on Conversations Live, 92.3 FM and online through blogtalkradio.com. Are you having challenges in relationships, finances, health, or even your career? Want some inspiration you can believe in from someone who has experienced the worst and still found ways to succeed? Well, let me tell you about Rob Pennington. He has been fired, divorced, shot in the chest, audited, and even widowed. Through it all, he found practical ways to turn his worst experiences into his best opportunities, and he shows you how to do the same in his new award-winning book, Find the Upside of the Downtime. I'm Cyrus Webb, host of Conversations Live and president of Conversations Book Club. I've read this book, and I really believe it will help you to put your life in perspective and begin seeking ways to make the most of each and every day. You can now get the book, Find the Upside of the Downtime, on Amazon.com, and also more information can be found by going to www.robertpennington.com. That's www.robertpennington.com. Visit the website, get your copy, and begin living your life with new purpose. And we're back with Conversations Live, and our conversation with Amy Beth Arkowee. She's been talking to us not only about her literary journey that began quite some time ago, but also about her new novel, Killing Time, an Eliza Gordon mystery. Now, Amy, we've been talking about this book. It is the first in the series. Let our listeners know how they can get their copy of Killing Time and also how they can stay in contact with you online.
Well, you can check out the Hen House Press website. That's our publisher, loveandpublishing.com. And all the details are there. You can get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Ask for it at your local bookstore, and it's available either as a paperback or an e-book. So
yeah,
we're in the digital age, too.
Exactly. And Amy is also very active on Facebook and Twitter. You can find her personally at those two places. And Amy, for you, as I have mentioned to you about fear and you know, does your journey, does the fear become less important as you go along? You know, there are a lot of people who don't start writing or don't start doing whatever their passion is because of fear. What would you say to them about the importance of moving past it and moving forward when it comes to fulfilling their passion and following it?
I would say plunge right in. And as I said before, I facilitate writing workshops, and that's really what I talk about and what I try to impart to people is to really embrace the process and just dive in. And what we do in my workshop, which I think is a great tool, and you could do this yourself at home, is to just give yourself a prompt. What I do is give people a prompt at the beginning, and we just write for like 15 or 20 minutes together, actually in the class, and then we can share or not share. It's optional later, but it just becomes – it's amazing what people can write in a 20-minute period of time, just stream of consciousness, and not worried about the inner critic, which is rattling around in your head, because it can't be good. We know it's a first draft. We know it's just 20 minutes, but you'll be amazed at how good some of these things really are. So I would say just do it. Just plunge in. Don't even talk about facing fear. Just do it. Just do whatever activity it is, whether it's writing, painting, running a marathon, gardening, cooking, whatever. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just plunge in.
I think that's great advice, Amy. Again, Amy Beth Arkowee, everyone, is our guest. Again, Killing Time is the book, an Eliza Gordon mystery. There's more to come, and you can look forward to that. As she said, you can find out more information on the Hen House Publishing website. You can go to loveandpublishing.com. Also, you can find it on Amazon.com, the Kindle version, as well as the print version as well. Amy, I've enjoyed this time with you. I hope you'll come back. Would love to chat with you again, as well as, of course, when you prepare to release the second book. We'd love to have you back then as well.
Coming soon. Cyrus, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to keeping in touch with you. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Thank you, Amy. Again, Amy Beth Arkowee, everyone. Again, make sure you pick up her book, Killing Time. And I want to spell the last name because even I had to ask her before we went on here how to pronounce it. It's A-R-K-A-W-Y. So that's Amy Beth Arkowee, again, is where you can find her. And, again, the book is Killing Time. Make sure you do look her up there. Now, if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link to this interview is already available if you came in late on both of those sites. You can go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/CAWebb4. That's C-A-W-E-B-B, the number 4. And on Twitter, you can find me at Cyrus Webb. That's C-Y-R-U-S-W-E-B-B. Incidentally, you can find Amy at Twitter as well, at AB Writes is where you can find her. AB Writes, again, W-R-I-T-E-S, is where you can find Amy on Twitter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our resident chef, Bruce Treader, will be joining us from Massachusetts to give us our quick and easy cooking tip of the day. You're listening to Conversations Live here on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.